I'm Jamie Seeker, and this is What It Takes. Each episode, I sit down with real business owners to talk about their journey, the wins, the challenges, and everything in between. Let's dive in.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to What It Takes. We are the show where business owners pull back the curtain on their journey, the wins, the tough spots, and the lessons that they've picked up along the way. Today, I'm talking with Jill Gustafson, the co-founder and executive VP of Topaz Services. Her company started back in the 80s as a scrappy hotel reservation service, and it has grown into a national tech-powered contact. It's a whole contact center now, serving more than 80 hotels across the country. Jill's been at this a long time, since the early days of microcomputers and magazine publishing, and her leadership journey is full of wisdom, resilience, and real talk. We'll dive into how she built her company alongside her husband and what it's been like as a woman leading in both tech and hospitality, and why she believes how you do things matters just as much as what you do. So let's get into it. Welcome, Jill.
Thank you so much, Jamie, for inviting me to be your guest and for that awesome intro. I don't know if I'll have anything else to say after you.
Oh, I'm so excited to pick your brain and just dive deep into the wisdom I'm sure you've acquired over the years. But let's just rewind back to the beginning. What first pulled you into the tech and publishing world way back in the 70s?
Well, my start in publishing was serendipitous. I lived in a small town in New Hampshire. I met a woman who had founded what was then called Microcomputer Magazine. And honestly, she liked the way I walked. I walk with purpose, and she interpreted some great aspect about me through that. And I became the assistant to the publisher to start with.
That's actually wonderful. Like, walk with purpose. That is really, really good advice. And I know you're saying this of like, oh, this is just that's the reason, but that's a really great reason. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, good. And from there, I moved throughout the company while we were still on entrepreneurial setup. And then ultimately, so I did advertising sales, I did special projects, et cetera, et cetera. And then we were acquired by a Fortune 500 publishing company. And there, as the special projects manager, I did, broad-based research of our readership and was lucky enough to gain an award for the way in which we did that and having 100% response percentage with our readers. And from there, I did other things with, I converted our payroll and HR systems to the new company. And then we were launching a new magazine, and I was the project manager for the launch of that publication.
Wow, that's a lot of great experience. And I was going to ask what gave you the confidence to take the leap into launching your own business. In 1986, you did San Francisco reservations, but it sounds like you had a lot of key leadership experiences leading up to that. But is that kind of what led you to take that leap, or what was that that kind of sparked that?
Well, that actually came from as part of the McGraw-Hill at the time, I moved to San Francisco in a sales role for that new publication we started. And that's where I met my husband and now business partner. And yes, we are still married after 40 years of working together. And Eric had different, of course, but similar background in that his family had owned motels throughout California, but also he had long stint with the military. So in other words, we both had entrepreneurial experience, but we also had both been parts of large organizations. It was from Eric's vantage point with a motel in the city that there was no central source for people, for hotels to refer folks to when they were sold out. So we got the idea for San Francisco reservations. for various reasons, we were both ready to launch into that. And we became a central 800 number for all the hotels in San Francisco, as well as a lot of them in the surrounding Bay Area.
That's awesome. And you coined the phrase fast, effective, and efficient early on. And I mean, that's exactly what that company kind of is founded on. That's fast, effective, and efficient. And way back when we could just have everything at our fingertips, I bet that that was something that was really kind of groundbreaking. What did those words mean to you back then, and how do they hold up today?
Oh, boy, I wonder if I can boil that down, but maybe I can answer it in this way. In those days, it was an 800 number. So the fast part was that we needed to get to the calls efficiently. Effective was we needed to ask the right questions to the caller to discern what they were looking for. So the right qualifying questions. So that helped us then make the match for what hotel, what price range, what style that they were looking for. And effective, I guess, is the results, you know, that they were satisfied customers. We made that right match. And, you know, quickly we became profitable and had, you know, issues of then how do we grow? How do we manage all of the volume that we're receiving?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd imagine, I know what my experience is like, and I didn't start my career back in the 70s, but as a woman in tech and hospitality leadership, what were some unique challenges that you faced specifically along the way?
Oh, goodness. I don't know if I've given that a lot of thought, honestly, because I don't feel like a woman alone in a room with all men, which I have been in that situation, particularly back at McGraw-Hill. And I was the youngest person in the room too, you know, and I'd be around a table with, I don't know, 12 or 13 men and me. So maybe that was my advantage. I didn't feel like the Lone Ranger. I felt like and maybe this goes back to the fast, efficient, and effective, in that I've always been very issue-oriented, project-based, results-oriented, and I think that probably really helped me along the way.
Absolutely. I think being results-based and really just looking at all of that absolutely helps to be in a room full of any leadership. Because right. If you're a problem solver and you've got answers instead of presenting problems all the time, that actually is unique in and of itself, because I find that most people can identify problems. Well, that is a skill in and of itself, but
most people
in leadership positions should be able to identify the problems. Whether or not they're coming at it from a results-based, you know, approach and say, hey, here's what we need to do. Here's how we solve it. That, I think that's a bit unique in and of itself. So that's actually a really cool thing. And it kind of goes back to walking with purpose. It sounds like mindset and how you carry yourself and how you approach things is really kind of your differentiator, you know, your point of view as a woman, although it is probably very unique and you carried a lot of things that were unique to you, you really didn't see it any differently. You just saw the problem at hand. And I think that's actually that's a really great perspective to have.
Okay, good. Thanks. You helped me in identifying it in that way. And, you know, the fast, efficient, and effective today looks so different than the way it did then. We've had to evolve with talk about technology. You know, the 800 number and the phone system that we had way back then is now a Zoom platform, and which is called an omni-channel platform. So we have calls and chats and AI chats and all kinds of ways in which we communicate with our customers. And where we used to track rates and availability on a whiteboard is now our own proprietary reservation platform.
Yeah, that's actually really awesome. I'm glad that you answered that, because I was very curious how that evolution kind of affected your people first philosophy? Because you've obviously evolved into a more tech forward company. Like you mentioned, it's omnichannel, you've got AI, you're utilizing all that. But I'd imagine that it could be a bit of a challenge to balance innovation, which is what you've done, but also keep your people first philosophy at the forefront.
Well, it's a really good observation on your part. And early on, one of my business colleagues who became a friend in the publishing industry, she was on the ad agency side, and she was an expert at brand awareness, brand image. Well, she helped us identify not only our mission statement, but our core values. And, you know, I have a printed version of that document that, you know, when it's fancy, it's in a binder. And now, of course, it's, you know, stored in Google Cloud or however I would say that. But we've always been about providing superior level services through the people we hire and the way in which we do things. And then secondarily to that is using the most effective technology available. So the technology becomes the backbone, but it's technology that we put at the fingertips of our staff members. So it doesn't dominate the process. It's a tool.
Yeah, and that is in alignment with everything that we've been talking about, is that perspective of like, hey, if we have this at the forefront, then the people, you know, if the people are at the forefront in our hiring and ingrained in our culture and ingrained in what we do, then they will be when we serve them also. That I think that's really, really cool. And company culture seems like a major pillar at Topaz. How did you go about building that courteous and friendly environment as well? I mean, you talked a little bit about your hiring, so I'm sure you're looking at that, but do you have any other intentional like training or how do you guys approach that?
Oh, it's certainly intentional, definitely intentional. I mean, firstly, in terms of hiring, we did not start out looking for folks who had hotel experience, even though we ended up hiring people who did have hotel experience. But we always look for people who love talking to other people and who love connecting with people. And if you want to talk about a management skill, I mean, you have to be able to discern that in your conversation as a part of the interview. But there's wherein then our expertise in the training, and that's something we've always been very dedicated to, even before the internet and before we had, you know, computer systems, giving those folks not only the training they needed, but the tools they needed to do their job very effectively.
I love that. We share hiring philosophies and training philosophies very much so. But looking back, were there any moments where you thought like, oh, this might not work? Like what comes to mind and what got you through those moments?
Well, that is there's lots of answers. There are lots of things.
Many times,
up.
I'm sure. Yes.
Yes, yes. So, you know, we started to, in our industry, we need to track rates and availability, and we need to deliver reservations, right? So we started tracking rates and availability on a whiteboard, and we delivered reservations by calling them into the hotels. Well, then fax machines happened, so we were able to fax the reservations in. And then the internet and email happened, so we were able to do that. Each of those things required understanding what the new technology was and how best to deploy that, again, so that it was a tool rather than dominating what we did. So that takes strategy and prioritizing and brainstorming to see how in most effectively to use those new systems. Once we did start to develop our own proprietary reservation system, then we had to grow that. Now we have technology partners that we're integrated with so that we get that rates and availability through those integrations with property management systems called Stay in Touch and Muse, and central reservation systems called SHR and Vertical Booking, you know. So it's been a long journey, and each one of those phases takes consideration and thoughtful deployment. Other things we had to overcome were the Bay Area. All of our staff members were located in the Bay Area. It's one of the most expensive places to live in the country. So early on, some of our folks wanted to move where they could buy a house, or their spouse was moving. Well, how could we keep these dedicated staff members who didn't want to leave the company, but for various reasons needed to move away? So we evolved into virtual staff members way before it was needed because of the pandemic. So another reason why, another example, I guess I'd say, of the way in which we had people first, but our technology, our phone system, and our proprietary reservation system allowed us to do that.
That's actually really wonderful. When you were talking about technology, your business is not dependent on the technology, but it is certainly a resource that you use in order to deliver the service that you offer. Like, that's what I was hearing in all of that. And I think, I mean, that's why it's been so impressive how you've been able to kind of, you know, get to these key decisions along the way and say, hey, we don't necessarily need to be in a building. And this was unheard of before, you know, other people were doing it. So I think that it was a testament to being able to utilize the technology simply as a resource to make your jobs better, fast, efficient, and effective, right?
Yes.
And so, yeah, that's just kind of what I was hearing.
Yes. And then just for your listeners, other things we had to overcome were things that, you know, that happened either now on a national level or globally that affected travel. So we had big downturns in business that we had to scale back and move through to survive. And fortunately, with, you know, the Gulf War and 9/11 and things like that, we were able to weather those difficulties. And here we are still today.
What were some of your biggest lessons that you learned during those times?
Well, you have to make the hard choices. How can we scale back? How can we help our staff stay connected and be ready to jump back on board when we're busy again?
That's amazing, because I know just what I've been through in the last 10 years with my company. And we've gone through, you know, like you mentioned, we had the pandemic, we've had economic downturns and, you know, recessions. You know, we've lived in times of, you know, where things were really, really great. And that's just in the last decade. And you've spanned through, you know, four decades of, you've experienced all kinds of things. And I wasn't really thinking about the end user as well, like travel affecting your business. It's not just the economy or it's not just whatever, but there are absolutely reasons that affect travel, and you faced them all and you're still here. And that's a wonderful testament to being able to make hard choices, be responsive, but also utilizing technology to your benefit. And Jill, our podcast is called What It Takes, and you have certainly been touching on what it takes to really stand the test of time. In your own words, what do you think it takes to build something like this, something that you've done and you've had experience doing?
Well, we've touched on a variety of things, how we have a people first culture. We put good technology at their fingertips to to make their jobs not only easier, but let them their work be the most effective it can be. And what we haven't talked about is our clients are also our hotel partners, our hotel clients. So all of that has to serve their needs. And in this mission statement and core values I talked about, it was always about serving the travelers in the best way we could, but also serving our hotel partners in the best way we could. So with that, for our hotel partners, we need to help them maintain their brand. We need to help them bring more money to the bottom line. We need to have our superb staff. We need to book more reservations. So as you can see, our business is multifaceted. And I think the main thing is keeping your eye on the ball. What are our core values? How are we delivering not only to the callers and the guests we're helping, but to our hotel partners? And how are we best working internally? So it does take stepping back, understanding what your purpose is, and adapting with the times, but also staying with what your core vision is.
Yeah, that's really
good. Your core purpose.
Keeping your eye on the ball. That's actually really, really great advice. And I think that if you've sat in this seat at all as a decision maker, as a business leader, and I know especially as a business owner, there's so much that you can get distracted by. There's so many opportunities and so many different like rabbit holes that you could go down. But I love that you said you just kind of need to take a step back and look at the bigger picture. What is your mission? What is your vision? Like, what is your philosophy on getting there? And really keeping the main thing. And that's actually really hard to do. I know you said, it's kind of simple, but it's actually really not when you're sitting in that seat and you've got so many things to really distract you from what the main thing is, because there's so many great things. And so with so many great things going on, you have to decide what the best great thing is that you need to pursue with your company. And that takes some skill set. And like you said, making tough decisions and really knowing that, hey, this is my decision. I need to lead this company and really stick true to it. But I think that's wonderful advice. Get your mission and your vision and your core philosophies grounded in you and have it next to you on a piece of paper and look at it all the time if you need to. That's wonderful. Oh, Jill, thank you so much for sharing your story. Seriously, inspiring stuff. I love how you've stayed true to your values through every phase of your growth. I know our listeners are walking away with some really valuable insights. I certainly am. If people wanted to learn more about your work or your team at Topaz Services, where can they find you?
The easiest and most efficient way is our website, and that's, of course, www.topazservices.com.
Oh, great. And we can also drop that in the show notes as well.
Okay, thanks again. That'd be good.
Yeah, thanks again for being on the show. And for those of you listening, thank you so much for tuning in. This is What It Takes. If you enjoyed this conversation, go ahead and hit that follow button, leave a quick rating or review, and share it with someone who needs to hear it. And we will catch you next time.
Thank you, Jamie.
Thanks, Jill.
Bye.
This podcast is brought to you by Seeker Solution. Are you a business owner feeling overwhelmed? We can help. Head over to SeekerSolution.com to schedule a call today. Would you or someone you know like to be featured on this podcast? Our applications are now open. Apply today at SeekerSolution.com and click on the podcast link to get started.